In our readings today, we hear about how the Spirit of God moved in the lives of individuals, in people's hearts and minds, causing them to do all kinds of things. And Philip was no exception. This is, of course, the Philip who had received the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost, which we will be celebrating in a few weeks' time, and who was given the commission of God to go and preach the gospel. And in the previous part of the reading, which we didn't have this morning, we find he's doing just that, and all kinds of extraordinary and wonderful things are happening in the name of the Lord. But then he gets this message from the Spirit of the Lord, or an angel of the Lord, who told him to go south to the road, the desert road, that goes from Jerusalem to Gaza. A strange request for someone of Philip's generation and time, because Jerusalem was kind of a safe place for him to be-ish, but Gaza was certainly not. And furthermore, it talks about the desert road, because that's where he would get involved once again in the ministry of God. But we noticed some important things here. He didn't question what the Spirit of God was saying to him. It says he started out on his journey. We give thanks to God for people who hear within their hearts and minds what God is telling them and go and do the works of God. And it can be as extraordinary as the story that we heard about Philip this morning, or indeed some of the works that's going on over in Nepal at this very moment, or it can be the little things that we can do and respond to in our lives just where we are. But whatever happens, we are always, I think, as the people of God, being challenged by God himself. So Philip responds to the Spirit's prompt, and he makes his way all the way down to Gaza. And on the way, he met this Ethiopian eunuch. Actually, he must have been quite a wealthy eunuch, a wealthy man, because he had this chariot. I think it was a super souped-up chariot myself. And people were able to join him in his chariot. So Philip actually was able to join him. But first of all, he had to hear what the Spirit was saying. And the Spirit said, run up alongside him and talk to him. Now, would you do that? Well, we don't have chariots. But would you stop somebody and say, what is it you're doing? What is it you're reading? Would you have the nerve if the Spirit told you to do that very thing? We hear stories about that even today. And we will know from the last all the years I've been here and before, of Sheila Wind, who is our mission partner. And she often would hear of God to go in different places working for the Church Mission Society. And for many of the years that she was with us, she was in Nepal. And she spoke of a wonderful, warm-hearted group of people, not just the people who were Christians, but people of all faiths, people who had great hope. And actually, you see some of that when you watch the news even now. You see the sadness, but you see people of hope who have been through such a lot that they seem to be able to steel themselves and to move on with the help of others. Sheila Wynne spoke very warmly of those people, and of course of her connection with the church that was in Nepal at that time and the things that God was doing. And the way it worked for her was that in a similar kind of way, she'd hear from God and sometimes he'd say, move on, and she'd have to move on. And so it was that she did move on, and we know that she went to Afghanistan and all kinds of other places besides. As I say, we won't all hear and have to go to such far distant countries, but we do have an opportunity to hear what God is saying to us today. And the way of doing that, of course, is to be open to his presence, not just in this world, which he is, because it's a world that he loves so very dearly, but he does it by speaking to us also personally. Today you may have had a prompt from God to respond to what you've heard. Last week it may have been something else. Tomorrow it may be something else yet again. But the most important thing is that in this world there are people who respond to these promptings of God in their lives so that others may hear and know of the good news. So this Ethiopian eunuch was minding his own business. Probably he was a convert to Judaism. It says that he'd been on his way back from worship. So God had already been working in his heart and mind and was perhaps open for a conversation. So the Spirit says, go and speak to this man. Were it so easy as that? Not everyone is actually reading the book of the prophet Isaiah when I pull up alongside them in the garage at Tesco's or wherever it is. Very rarely happens. But you never know. So we need to be open to the possibilities that people are being stirred and need to hear the word of the Lord. And so Philip was actually open to this possibility. And Philip ran up alongside the chariot and began to ask the question, what is it you're reading? And the eunuch said, well, how can I possibly say unless someone explains it to me? So he invites Philip to come up and sit with him in his souped-up chariot. And there they have this conversation about what he was reading. And what he was reading was all about the prophet Isaiah and the hope that was set before the people of Israel, the hope that a Messiah would come, someone who would deliver them and set them free. And he was the one whom we know as Jesus. But at this point, the eunuch did not. And so Philip was able to explain to him all that he was reading about in that Old Testament reading. Probably a scroll, not a nicely formed book like this, but probably a long scroll that he had to unravel. And as he read the words, he must have sensed a stirring of God within his life, and he simply needed someone to explain it to him. And Philip was that man. I think there are a number of things that are really important here. First of all, sometimes God does call us to go to places that we hadn't expected, not necessarily geographically, but into situations we may never expect. And he invites us to be open and ready when he asks us to speak to others and to listen to others who have their problems in life and to be ready with an answer of the good news that is the gospel. Not always with words, but somehow by the way in which we live. Sometimes a smile, a kind word and a kind act has the same effect. But sometimes too, people will want to understand what it is they are reading. What is it about the Christian faith that seems to work for some and not for others? Why does it seem so obscure? Why is it I believe and others do not? What's that all about? People have all sorts of questions. We say that we live in an age where people don't believe in God, but actually I think people believe in lots of spiritual things and they need some form of explanation. So the second thing is that not only will God call us into these situations, but we too need to have a bit of an understanding of what it is that we believe and have the confidence to share it for ourselves. So a basic understanding of the good news is what we try to instill in most people who come to this church. So they will have an understanding of who Jesus is, why he came, and how he helps us in our lives to live in and through him by his Spirit. And that is why in this church and in this diocese actually there is this desire to call people to be disciples of Jesus, not just followers, but actually disciples who have an understanding of the love of God. And the love of God, as revealed in the Epistle of John, reminds us actually that the love of God is this, that he first loved us. And as we begin to understand that, it is to that we begin to respond also. The third thing that we receive perhaps from this passage and others is that we need to do a bit of abiding. Not abiding people, as I can't abide that person, but abiding in Jesus, as it talks about in the Gospel of John, chapter 15. Where he says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. And we need to learn to abide in him, to learn from him, so that we can hear his still small voice, prompting us to go to visit this person and that person, to be available to people, to share our gifts within the community in which we live, to be compassionate and caring as our Lord Jesus was, and to respond to some of the things that we hear as they come before us. So the situation in Nepal, to respond in prayer and where we can by generously giving to organisations such as Shelterbox. Very good to be able to support Shelterbox in this way, because it's an organisation from our own county. That's not the only reason to do so, but at least we can have a handle on what's happening, and we heard it fresh today. Thank you very much, Pam. So we do need to be open to what God is doing in our lives, and Philip was. All of the disciples were at different points, and we too need to be open to what God wants to do with us by his Spirit, to be ready to visit those who are really struggling in this life. And we have people in our own community who are quite lonely, actually, and sometimes they only get out on this is the day, this is it. And, you know, it's good to be aware of those people. So we have a pastoral ministry team, and I think that's really important. There's always room for more. And also to be involved generally in the wider community, not just in the church, but in the wider community, looking out for those who have a need, and with God's help, trying to bring comfort, hope, and direction in their lives. And so today, we want to be open to the moving of God's Spirit in our lives, to hear the still small voice that says, will you do this? Will you pull alongside this person and be with them in their sadness or indeed in their joy? Will you do it? That's what God is wanting from his people. And as we learn to respond, he just kind of fills us a bit more so that we're overfilled with his love and flowing out to others in need. We need never do this in our own strength, but only in and through the strength that God gives us by his Holy Spirit. Jesus ends this little passage in John's Gospel by saying, this is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. And that's about loving others as he has loved us. Let's be still for a moment as we give thanks to God for his amazing love.